With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this sixth Sunday of Easter, our hymns are 816, 605, 725, and 556. Pastor Engvall is our pastor today. Ron Baker is at the console or the organ. Welcome, our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, 816, From All That Dwell Below the Skies.
Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church on this, the sixth Sunday in Easter. It's also Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all your moms out there. We begin with our hymn of invocation, number 816, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Please rise. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor.
mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We read responsibly the introit. Your word is a lamp to my feet,
and a light to my path.
Forever, O Lord, your word
is firm in place in the heavens.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
You have established the earth, and it stands fast.
By your appointment they stand this day.
For all things are your servants.
If your law had not been my delight, I will never forget your precepts.
For by them you have given me life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your word is a lamp to my feet,
and a light to my path.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
First reading for this, the sixth Sunday in Easter, is from Acts chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the gradual. Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
Amen.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We continue with verse 1 of hymn 605, Father Welcomes.
Today. Good. Who is so excited that school is almost over? Did you get out? You're almost in first grade. You just started kindergarten. Oh, that's so exciting. Do you guys get out this week? Yeah, this week or next week? That's exciting, right? Well, you're still four, though. Well, before you guys forget how to think, because your brains are going to shut off soon, right? I need you to do some thinking for me. It's really easy, though. Think of the people that you love the most in this world. You love your mom. Who's somebody you love? You love all the people in the world. You're so sweet. Who's somebody you love, Eli? Jesus. Who's somebody you love? You love Ada Ann and Lillian. And Seton, all of your cousins. Yeah, we love our moms and our dads. Tristan, you love your brother. It's easy to love people, right? It's easy to understand love. It's that strong feeling of affection for the people and the things you like best. And you can feel it, but sometimes it's hard to show how we love somebody. I'm going to share a verse for you about loving God, and it's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." But how do we show love? Think about what makes others feel loved. Maybe first think about, how do you show mom and dad or your grandma and grandpa that you love them? What's something you can do? You can give them hugs. You can make them something. What else? Making them comfy, maybe giving them a blanket so they're comfortable. Doing the dishes without them asking. Oh, that definitely makes them feel loved, doesn't it? What do you think, Evelyn? Going shopping with them. Seton? since they love, feel so loved, what makes them feel loved? To say what he said for everybody. What about when mom and dad feel? I don't think. What about you love them? Making them something? Oakland? Giving them gifts as well? Evelyn? Hugging them? What about talking to them? What about playing with them? Does that make them feel loved too? Yeah? And we talked about your brothers and sisters whenever we don't fight with them. That makes them feel loved, right? Or maybe whenever you make time to play with them when you're not too busy. The verse I shared with you was given to the nation of Israel by God. Years later, Jesus repeated those words to his followers. Loving the Lord God is an important part of following him. And we love God the same way that we love others. We just have to do it in a little bit of a different way. So when we speak with God, how do we do that? How do we speak with God? By praying. And how do we listen to God? Tristan? Yeah, by reading the Bible. You're exactly correct. So love the Lord your God, because who does he love? That's right. He loves all of you. Will you fold your hands and pray with me? Dear God, continue to lead us in your word, by your love. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus' conversation in the upper room with his disciples, the men whom he'd personally called to follow him, was pretty intense. Jesus knew every detail of what he would soon suffer. The betrayal, the verbal and physical abuse, the crucifixion, death. Jesus knew that soon he would be separated from his disciples. Soon they would only have his parting words to cling to. From our gospel text, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus was not speaking in terms of his brief separation from them between his death and resurrection. Jesus was looking beyond that to his ascension back to the right hand of the Father, after which he would no longer visibly manifest himself to his disciples until his return at the last day to receive them into the new eternal creation, a day for which you and I and all of his disciples are still waiting. Jesus, in the meantime, promises to send his disciples the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to comfort, to guide, and to keep their faith steadfast in the eternal truth that Jesus is the Christ, who has fully atoned for our sin and has made us right with God through his own life, suffering, death, and resurrection. Even after his resurrection, Jesus continued to manifest himself to his disciples. They beheld him. They ate with him. They even touched him. How could they not believe the glorious gospel when the Lord himself was literally standing right there in front of them? But now, Jesus has bodily ascended back to heaven, while this world remains in its fallen state, with all of its suffering and injustices, all of its hardships, and in the end, death. You know, the sin-sick world is a very cold, hard, lonely place to be. A very hopeless place to be, apart from faith in the one true and living God who loves us and has made us innocent again through Jesus' blood. But in the absence of Jesus' visible presence, how can one remain steadfast in faith in Christ alone? Or for that matter, even believe in Jesus Christ and his saving work for us in the first place? Well, thankfully, Jesus has not left us as orphans. According to his promise, Jesus has sent from the Father the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us into the truth of the gospel, who brings us to repentance and faith, and who keeps us in this faith and life that is found only in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to us not through some cathartic emotional experience, not through some voice from out of the clouds, and not through our own acts of devotion, but only through God's holy word. Hear our confession of this from Article 5 of the Augsburg Confession, and I quote, "So that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith when and where it pleases God in those who hear the good news that God justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. This happens not through our own merits, but for Christ's sake." The Holy Ministry, in German the Predigtamt, literally the preaching office, was instituted by Jesus Christ. The apostles were called directly into this holy office by Jesus himself. Jesus still today calls men into this preaching office, the holy ministry, not directly, but as you well know, through his church, in order to teach the gospel, administer the sacraments, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by no other means than the word of God. Therefore, it is the solemn obligation of every man in this divine office to faithfully proclaim God's word, both law and gospel, and to administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. This is my solemn obligation here as your pastor. And let there be no doubt that I joyfully commit myself to this noble task of taking care of you in the stead and in the name of Jesus Christ through the faithful, proper administration of word and sacrament ministry, according to our Lutheran confessions, which are a clear and correct, the correct explanation of the Holy Scriptures. The blessed sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, also instituted by Jesus Christ, are also God working through His Word. The sacraments, as you know, are His Word attached to visible elements by which the Lord delivers to each and every one of us exactly what He has accomplished for us, forgiveness and eternal life. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the truth of this, and with this faith bestows upon each of us that peace which passes all understanding, peace which the world cannot give, because the world, apart from Christ, simply does not have this peace that only comes from God through the gospel. Instead, the fallen world has many idols and many so-called truths that give empty promises and false comfort. They ultimately fail the one who puts his trust in such things. And we are by nature of the world. We're given to cling to our idols and follow the ways of the sinful world. Apart from faith, we are actually by nature hostile to God. We have no desire to love others as God loves us. We're just too caught up in ourselves to ever do that. The sinful world invites us constantly to satisfy ourselves. Jesus calls us to love each other as He has loved us. But we cannot love if we don't believe. And we cannot believe apart from the Holy Spirit. And we cannot receive the Holy Spirit except through God's holy word. With the Spirit comes repentance for our sin and faith, faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ by which we are fully and completely forgiven. And that Spirit dwelling within us moves us to love God and to love each other. This is manifested in our lives in the many fruits of faith. Because of faith in Christ, though you are in the world, you are not of the world. As you are fed with the word, you grow and you mature in this faith, growing in Christ, and with that reflecting Him more and more in your life, though never perfectly, not this side of eternity. For this side of eternity, you and I, we're just merely repentant sinners whose lives are hidden in Jesus Christ and who are ever looking forward to His return. And this is why we must gather together around word and sacrament often, regularly, repeatedly. Our sinful nature needs to be slain again and again by God's holy law. Thus slain, we need to be raised to new life again and again through the gospel of the full and complete forgiveness of our sin for the sake of Jesus Christ, whose blood has set us free to stand innocent and beloved before our Father in heaven. You know, today happens to be Mother's Day, and in this world we consider the love of a mother to be the very epitome of love. Think, for example, of the account of Solomon and the infant, in which two women claimed to be this infant's mother. Well, wise old Solomon acted as if he would resolve the issue by simply slicing the child in half. The one woman surrendered her claim, said, "No, don't do that. The other woman can have this child." And with that, Solomon knew that that one, that woman, the one who was willing to suffer the heartbreak of giving up her child to the other woman, that woman was the infant's mother. Such is a mother's love. It's instinctive. It's sacrificial, even among us sinful, fallen creatures. How much more, then, is the love of God our Father for us, that He would send His only begotten Son to suffer and die for fallen creatures such as you and me, before He would see any of us consigned to the eternal torments of hell? Apart from the Holy Spirit, this is impossible for us to believe. But you know what? Through His Word, He has sent His Spirit that we would believe, and believing, have eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Let us then arise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us now pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people, according to their needs. O Lord, You give us life in Christ. Grant that, having been strengthened by Your gifts, we may gladly tell others of the hope that we have in You. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, let Your Spirit be at work through Matthew, our Synod President, Lee, our District President, Joel, our Circuit Visitor, and all of our pastors, that, as they proclaim Your Word, He may teach us all things, and bring to remembrance all Your Son has said to us. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of heaven and earth, You have given the Spirit of truth to dwell in us through holy baptism. Grant Your Spirit steadfast guidance, that the feet of this congregation and its catechumens may not slip into sin and unbelief, but live always in praise of You before the world. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, Your Son in His incarnation took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to His mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom You have given to us. Teach us to honor them aright, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as is fitting in Your sight. Strengthen all women with child, and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in You and Your unfailing love. Lord, in Your mercy. Almighty God, You made from one man all the nations of the earth, and still You sustain us. Grant good leaders in every land who will seek peace and serve justice. Frustrate the causes of evil, violence, and oppression. Send Your holy angels to keep watch over our military, police, fire, and all public safety professionals. Lord, in Your mercy. Listening, Lord, You always wait upon the prayers of Your people and attend to their cries.
Inspire us to pray in all seasons of life and through all trials, giving us faith in your promise to answer us. We especially name before you today Ron, Carol, Roy, Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Ryan, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Dr. Harley Hagen, Gail, Randy and Lori, Kelly, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Elliot, Reverend Walt Snyder, the family of Zachary Brockman, all of our shut-ins, Norma, Walter, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, Phyllis, our mission workers, Reverend Peter and Christy Cole, Reverend David and Valerie Federowitz, all our military first responders, especially McKenna, Drake, and Ethan. We also ask, Lord, for favorable weather, for farming, and for safety in the fields. And we also pray for the students of the UCM Lutheran Student Center, and for all students as the school year comes to a close. We especially ask for your blessings upon all of our graduates. And also, Lord, we pray for those who we name silently before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, I invite you to greet each other in the pews with God's peace.
Thank you. trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.